Well, hello, everybody. Welcome. Episode 1, Season 3, Theology on Tap. My name is Seth Mormon. I'm going to be your host. We are so glad that you've joined us. Joining me in the room, we got the whole crew back. We got Kaylee Lopez.
Hey, everybody.
Mark Siegert.
Hello.
Kevin Kreitzer.
How are you?
Kyle Blake.
Buenos dias.
I love it. It's been a while, my friends.
It has.
It's been a while since we've done this. I think we've all seen each other over the last couple of months, but I don't know if we've all been in the same room at the same time.
I don't think so.
Since the last time we recorded at the end of season two. So great to be back. Great to see all of your beautiful faces. And thank you guys who are listening for joining us in this episode. You know, while we love to talk all things theology, we really do this for you, our listeners. So thanks for taking time out of your day. Maybe it's on your drive, maybe it's on your walk, whenever. But we thank you for taking us along with you. We did take a break during Lent and Easter. It took some time to catch our breath, but I don't know if anybody else caught our breath. Did you? Anybody catch your breath?
No.
We're just as tired as we were before. But we know that you guys have been itching for some more content, and we're really looking forward to the conversation tonight. As always, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got a question or a comment, you can continue the conversation on our Facebook page. Again, if you want to send an email, theologyontap1517@gmail.com, or you can, again, go to our Facebook page. I'm going to put a link in that in the show notes so you can get to that. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast yet, please do so, and it would be awesome if you would rate us. 5 stars, please, and leave a comment as well. This season, season 3 for Theology on Tap, we're tackling the subject of the body of Christ, what it is, how it's expressed, what does it mean for the followers of Christ to be the body of Christ. And we see both overt and covert references to this in scriptures, but I don't want to steal any of Mark's content, so I'm going to leave it at that as we get started. So grab yourself a cold beer, warm glass of milk, hot cup of tea, bottle of water, whatever you would like. Pull up a chair, join us for the next few minutes as we chat. As per usual, Mark is going to serve as our topic guide, going to get us started and set up our discussion tonight. So Mark, take it away.
All right. Well, thanks, Seth. Thanks for that introduction. And yeah, it's great to be back here. And thanks for calling my face beautiful. I don't think anybody's ever said that about me before.
You have a beautiful face.
And speaking of writing in, if there's any of you that actually have a glass of warm milk, would you please write in and let us know?
I thought you were going to say,
I don't like my milk warm.
Beautiful face.
I remember having warm milk before, and it was delicious.
Yes. I am a cold milk guy.
All right.
So yeah, as he said, the subject for this season is the body of Christ, and tonight we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at some Bible passages. So if you're listening to the podcast, go ahead and grab your Bible at this point, and while you're getting the Bible out, I got a little poem here for you. You might remember at the beginning of season two, I had a poem, and I referenced at the time that was a poem in air quotes because it was unfinished and sort of half thrown together, and that's even more true this time. So the body of Christ, his body looking shoddy hanging up there on the cross, this is how he gets a win. This is not a loss. There's extra room in his tomb, no body in the prison. This is how he got the win. See, he has risen. This now done, he makes us one body resurrected. Our hostile traits are crushed to death. In him, we're all connected. So there you go. Take it or leave it.
You have to give yourself more credit.
That was good.
Okay.
It would take me forever to come up with that.
Well, you don't know how much time went into it. while we think about that, it hit me that there's maybe a couple of things that might run into people's minds when they hear that phrase, the body of Christ. First, they might think of literally the physical body of Jesus Christ himself. And this was, after all, a fully human body. And it's worth noting that it was a body that needed water and food. It was a body that grew in the normal human way from embryonic conception all the way into adulthood. It was the body that literally ceased all living activity on the cross, right? And it was the body that was perhaps almost overdue for some of the burial preparations as the women went to the tomb that first Easter morning. That was their goal, was to prepare the body for burial. And I want to just take a few minutes to say also, when we think of the body of Jesus, this is also the lifeless body that was never produced by the German, by the Jewish or Roman authorities. That's a whole different thing.
The Germans were looking for it later with Indiana Jones, right? That's the
right. Yeah. The lifeless body that was never produced by the Jewish or Roman authorities. And if you think about it, as soon as the story started to come to life that Jesus' body had been resurrected, if there was anybody that had the wherewithal and the incentive to produce his dead body, it was the Jewish and Roman people.
That's right.
They did not. And from anything I've read, they never even pretended to do that. So that's interesting to think about the body of Jesus that was never seen dead after it was put in the tomb. But this is also the body that was seen alive by hundreds of people later on. Paul records in 1 Corinthians 15 that at least 500 people had seen the living body of Jesus walking again. And it was the body that ascended into heaven, and it was the body that will return today, this literal physical body. Or we might think, when we think about this phrase, the body of Christ, we might think about the body of Christ, which is truly present when we celebrate communion, or maybe you call it the Eucharist or whatever you celebrate. The Bible records that when Jesus instituted this ritual we call communion, he said, "Take and eat, this is my body." And really, there's no other way to interpret it other than he meant what he said. Is means is. And I don't personally have a problem with that. If you think about it, this is the God of the universe who brought everything into being simply by speaking it into being. This is the God of the universe who breathed life into human beings. And now if he says, "This is my body," no big deal. Why make such a big deal out of that? This is his body. So that might be the aspect we think about on the body of Christ, and really kind of then related to that. And I think what we'll spend a lot of our time talking about today is the phrase being used as a metaphor. And this is a really powerful metaphor. When I say it's a metaphor, I don't mean to sort of downplay it or diminish it. It's a metaphor, the body of Christ, which describes the church, the Christian church on earth in all times and all places, and it describes our place and our role in it as baptized believers. And so now we're going to get into the Bible a little bit, and I'm going to ask you to look up, if you're listening, look up Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But while you look that passage up, Kaylee, why don't you tell us real quick, and in a nutshell, give us some introductory comments of Ephesians.
Yeah, of course. Ephesians is a great book written by the Apostle Paul. Fun fact, this is where he spent most of his time. What I really like about the book of Ephesians is that it is called the Queen of the Epistles, meaning that it's the most eloquently stated gospel that we see in other books. It's pretty straightforward. Here's a gospel. And Paul he stretches out. He uses this very beautiful language to describe it. And in doing so, he's not really addressing the problems of the church like he does in a lot of his letters. But he is more talking about like the overarching themes of Christianity. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and thanks for that, Kaylee. And one of those themes is indeed the body of Christ. It's a phrase that he uses and references in different ways, as Seth said, overtly and covertly several times in Ephesians. And here we are at the beginning of that letter, Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, "And God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, is the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." So there you have it in some really plain language. The church is the body of Christ. It says that right there in Paul's eloquent language. And it also kind of tells us there that the body of Christ actually completes Christ. It is the ongoing and complete action of Christ. So the idea is that, yes, Christ lived, died, rose, and ascended, but then the church is this continuing action of the Christ in all times and in all places. It fills everything. And so that's sort of an abstract concept of the body of Christ. But then really what we also know about the body of Christ is that we as believers are the body of Christ. We're members of the body of Christ, and we are actually the body of Christ. And that's the way it's referred to. So we kind of want to look at then the next passage we want to take a look at is in Romans chapter 7. And so while you're looking up Romans chapter 7, 4, while the listeners are looking that up, who wants to talk about Romans? Kyle, you got something for us on Romans? Give us an overview of the book of Romans.
It's another letter by Paul. And whereas he spent a lot of time in Ephesus when he's writing back to the Ephesians, he didn't spend any time in Romans before in Rome before he wrote Romans. He's just writing to the church in Rome. And actually, Luther called this like the chief part of the New Testament. It's he said it's the purest gospel. It's an epistle where we find, or it's a letter where we find the things that a Christian ought to know about law and gospel, sin and punishment, grace and faith, righteousness, Christ, God, good works, love, hope, the cross. And it really talks about, too, is whereas the Ephesians talked about the church, Romans really talks about also how we as Christians are to conduct ourselves towards everyone, be people who are righteous or sinners, strong or weak, friend or foe, and even towards our own selves.
Yeah. So here we are in Romans chapter 7, and this is fairly far into, roughly halfway into the letter that he's writing. And again, as Kyle said, he's writing to Christians in Rome that some of them he's met, but very few of them, and most of them he hasn't. And he speaks to them this way. He says, "Likewise, brothers and sisters, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ." So there's two phrases there that we need to unpack a little bit. You have died to the law, he says. And that doesn't mean that you don't have to follow the law anymore, but the you don't have to be a slave to the law anymore in the sense that you don't have to just sort of be under its thumb. And you certainly don't have to be under all of the guilt and angst and consequence that comes from the law. So in that sense, he's talking about a death to that aspect of the law. And how have you died to the law? Well, through the body of Christ. And so there's that phrase again where Paul is talking a little bit about the body of Christ and what it brings. And so he goes on to say, he starts, "Likewise, brothers, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to one another, and so that you may belong to him who has been raised from the dead." So Paul is saying as the body of Christ has connected us to one another, and it also has connected us to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. So what a powerful statement, right? We have died to the law through the body of Christ so that we can belong to one another, so that we can belong to him who has been raised from the dead, and in order that we can bear fruit for God who did all that for us. It's just a wonderful, wonderful phrase. All right, so we're jumping around here a little bit. The next Bible passage that I want to sort of use as an introductory here, this is a fun one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. So we'll go to the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. While we look that up, Seth, can you give us a real quick flyover of 1 Corinthians?
Sure. The church in Corinth was a church in conflict and a church in crisis. And maybe I need to be delicate how I say this. It was influenced by the carnality of culture.
Good job, Seth.
Better than what we did when I was thinking about it earlier, right?
Right.
And they were really struggling with how to live and to love within the freedom of the gospel. And Paul, by the way, Paul wrote the letter, if I didn't say that.
Inspired by the Spirit.
Inspired by the Spirit. First Corinthians gets, chapter 13 gets all the pub when they're, mm-hmm. but really you got to see that within context of how Paul kind of really ramps up and leads up to that whole thing, and you got to see the context with it. Paul doesn't really pull any punches in this. This is not the queen letter. This is
It's not eloquent.
Not.
It's not beautiful.
This
is the angry uncle, right? Uncle. Yeah, much more so.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Seth. Yeah, 1 Corinthians is Paul's just getting down to brass tacks and going, you guys are misbehaving. You're in conflict. You brought things from your culture into the church, and I realize you used to be a part of that culture, but you're not anymore. And so again, he spends a little bit of time talking about what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. And so in this case, the passage we're looking at is from 1 Corinthians 10 verses 16 and 17, and he's also talking here a little bit about about communion too. So you can kind of start to see the connection between these two ideas. And he says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? And I want to look at that word participation in a little bit. And then he goes on, the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And there's that phrase again, the body of Christ. The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And the implied answer is, it is a participation in the body of Christ. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. So let's look at that word participation a little bit, and probably maybe some time where we want to spend a little bit of time later on in the podcast. Participation is probably a good word in English, but it's not really a word. There isn't, I don't think, a good word in English that fully encapsulates what Paul is saying there when he talks about participation. This is the word koinonia. Probably a lot of our listeners have heard that word before. And I think if you were a Greek or a Roman citizen, you probably would have recognized the fullness of that word. I looked it up in a dictionary, and even this will only help a little bit. It's a spiritual fellowship. So this participation, this koinonia, is a spiritual fellowship, and it's an association involving close mutual relationships. So it's a really tight bond, and it's a spiritual bond that we have through the bread, and it's a participation then in this body of Christ. It's an amazing fellowship. So maybe we can talk a little bit more about that, and maybe there's some other ways that y'all can explain that. Then one more Bible passage that we want to look at, and we can just go back to Ephesians chapter 2, and I kind of like this one as a way of sort of ending my opening remarks here. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Again, this is that eloquent letter that Paul writes to his friends back in Ephesus. And here it is. For Jesus Christ himself is our peace. He made us both Jew and Gentile. So what Paul is saying is, in the vernacular of the day, there was really kind of two categories of people. There were Jewish people and there were Gentiles. And that was everybody. You were either one or the other. And so what Paul is saying is that God made us, both of us, Jew and Gentile, and he made us one. There's no longer two, there's one. And he has broken down in his flesh all the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new person. So the body is one new person in place of those two, Jew and Gentile. And so making peace, and he might reconcile us, both Jew and Gentile, to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing hostility. And so that's really where I got the final verse of the poem. This is now done, this resurrection. So this now done, he makes us one body resurrected, and our hostile traits are crushed to death, and in him we're all connected. So that's enough to get us started. There's plenty more Bible passages as the season goes along that we can take a look at. But there you go. What do you all think? The body of Christ in that frame.
Something because you just wrapped it up with that word one, and it really connects to koinonia. But I was flipping through and going to these Bible verses as we were reading them. And if you read through a lot of Paul's letters, he loves the word one. He says one over and over again. I'm just looking at Ephesians 4. When he talks about one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one bread, one body. He says it over and over and over again.
He must be trying to make a point.
Right?
I wonder what it is.
I wonder if it goes back to what we were saying about koinonia, that spiritual connection that we make with each other, and how the depth of that word is talking about that true unity that we make. And if we're truly united, are we not one? And body, and faith, and baptism, and hope, and spirit. And I don't know. I think when Paul is speaking to the body of Christ, he is very pointed in the fact that we are united, and without the unity, where's that body?
Well, and I think if we go backwards from that unity and to the other points that Mark began with, you know, there's this definite connection between this idea of the body of Christ as the church, and it is the body of Christ because of the body of Christ, you know, that is given to us, but it that is because of the body of Christ that was physically present as well. So there's, you can't, you know, you can't dissociate any of those things. And I love the way you did that, Mark, is to kind of go from, yeah, there's that physical body to that presence of the body that we have with us today, but also that we experience in the unity of the body. I mean, there's some real, it just is beautifully done. There's a thought about, when you're talking about koinonia, when I was working at Arrowhead Lutheran Camp, our evening devotion times were called koinonia. And it was a time where we all got together, no matter what group we were in, where we were at, we all came together in one spot to hear a word from the Lord. And I didn't know what koinonia meant at that point in time. I just knew that that was what we did right after dinner. But there's probably some beauty in that.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a metaphor that I'll share about koinonia later, but I want to, I'm not saying it's a good metaphor, but I'm kind of curious what you all think, but I want to hear more of your thoughts before I get to that.
Well, not to jump on it again right here, but one of the other thing I thought of when you were talking about koinonia and this whole thing, you said that word fellowship, and two things came to my mind. One was when I was a child, there were small groups at the church that I was at, and they were called small fellowship groups. And there was just a small group of people who would get together and study. But then, of course, the second thing I thought of was the Fellowship of the Ring. You know, the Tolkien stuff and what that group of people kind of did. Different, if we wanted to push a body of Christ analogy on there, there's some great things there with all those different characters bringing something different to that group. And without one of them, there could have been, you know, disaster for that whole thing. So I don't know if that's a useful metaphor that some people can grab onto if they know the story of the Fellowship of the Ring.
Well, when I think about that, I think of Sam's relationship with Frodo and then John, where a friend lays down, you lay down your life for your friend.
That's John 15.
And in Lord of the Rings, Sam was willing multiple times to lay down his life. And it's a beautiful connection that Christ was willing to lay down his life for us. And as the body of Christ, our willingness to be there to support, to lay down our life, our needs, to humble ourselves, to lift those up, those are around us, to lift them up, to encourage them, to support them.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Not that we need to become the Fellowship of the Rings podcast.
I don't really know that one.
There's a great connection there with the body metaphor in that as the fellowship goes their separate ways, Gimli says the fellowship is broken, and Aragorn says, not as long as we remain true to each other, which also reminds us our unity, our koinonia, is not only a small group that we study with, but it's actually global, and not only global, but beyond our timeline.
Yeah,
we are one body, not only with those we share close proximity to, but those we've never even met and never will meet and wouldn't be able to communicate with them if we did, unless there was a second Pentecost. Because of the one who's remained true to us.
Yeah. And we have talked about that in our communion classes before too, and we use that exact passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as we talk about how the unity of when we participate in the body and blood of Jesus Christ is not just simply this temporal thing. It spans time and space. We are blessed here at our congregation here at Bethany in the structure of our communion rail that it's a semicircle. So we kind of use that as a metaphor too, saying that this is actually, you know, completes itself throughout all time and space with all believers who gather before the Lamb.
You took the words right out of the mouth.
And I think that, and I'm not chasing Lord of the Rings, by the way, because I've watched the movies. I haven't read the book. Sorry, guys.
I don't like the tone in which you said that. I'm just being honest.
I'm just, you know. But I think that just that whole idea of oneness, right? That whole idea of togetherness, that whole idea of, you know, I mean, Jesus in his high priestly prayer in John 17 talked about, you know, the fact that, you know, he says, may they be one as we are one, as he praised the Father, right? And just that idea of oneness. I mean, koinonia, that whole word is also used in Acts 2 when it talks about the church devoting themselves to fellowship daily, to being in relationship with one another. And I think that my kind of, and I know we probably will get into the season, this kind of an overview, whatever, but one of my issues a lot of times with today's cultural expression of faith is it's my personal relationship with Jesus, right? But the reality is that we're saved into family. We're adopted into family. We're adopted into community. And so, yes, I have a relationship with Jesus in the sake of community, or not in the sake, but in the midst of community. And I think that that's an important piece that we often miss, is that we are the body of Christ. And one of our professors in seminary, and Mark and I and Seth all went to the same seminary, was said that, you know, the church is a group of people who may not necessarily like each other, but are learning to love each other in the name and for the sake of Jesus. And I think it's an important part as we talk about body, is just that we are one. It's about we, not just me. You know,
there ought be no Lone Ranger Christians.
No Lone Ranger Christians.
Mark, the other thing that came to my mind as you're talking about that is the metaphor, you know, you use the term, the mind is where we think of things, obviously, the heart maybe where we feel things. The body is where you get things done. And Christ gets things done now through the body, which one of my favorite stories is that World War II story, and the church is destroyed by bombing, the big statue of Jesus beckoning worshipers out front is demolished. An artist puts things back together. The community builds the cathedral back up, but they leave the hands of Jesus off at the statue when it is rebuilt, and instead put the plaque, "We are his hands." And that whole concept of it is now through us that God gets things done.
Yeah, I know musical rights and whatever, but there's that song, like, if we are the body, right? Mm-hmm. And why aren't the hands? You know, and I think that to be that way is to realize that we, as the body of Christ, as the church together, the church universal, right? Not particular, but universal, are the hands and the feet of Jesus.
Not just the Lutherans.
What? Come on. Those Baptists are on their own anyway. But I think that...
That just contradicts everything you just said.
I know, right?
I know.
But that's the point. I think a lot of times is that what we don't realize is that outsiders look at the body, and sometimes the body seems kind of sick, you know? And so I think
Bodies can be sick, right?
Yeah, right?
So... 2 weeks ago at confirmation, we were talking about the church.
What is confirmation?
Confirmation, if you are not a part of the Lutheran Church, is a time where we have our young students, middle school, just learning about kind of the doctrine that we take from Scripture. So more importantly, learning the scriptural truths. So anyway, I teach confirmation, and a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the church because we're going through the Apostles' Creed, and I had the kids all write a question, anything they wanted to know about church, anything that's ever struck them. I don't care. And I said, there's no rude question. So some kids were like, why is it long and boring?
Why is the sermon so long? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I was like, let's answer
it. That was
it.
The Sunday after I preached, by the way. So
it actually was.
Yeah.
But I want to say a handful of the cards were questions about why are there different denominations? Why is the church not united? Why do Catholics and Lutherans argue all the time? Why are Methodists and Baptists made fun of? Like, those were the questions. Sixth, seventh, and eighth graders saw those quote unquote jokes that we say, and they really felt that there was an issue, a divide, something. And so my answer was human arrogance and pride. Mm-hmm. You know, we have allowed our sinful nature in those moments. And this is what Paul is talking about in Romans when he nails the Jews and the Gentiles, especially the Jews when they're being butts, and telling the Gentiles, no, you don't get this faith. And he nails the Corinthians. It's because of human pride and arrogance ripping the unity that Christ desired and taught us with the disciples apart. And it doesn't just start in Acts chapter 2. It continued all the way through. And you were talking about that's the issue that maybe we have in our church, that we segregate ourselves and it's all about me, me, me. But then we turn it, well, it's we. We the Lutherans, we the Catholics, we the Methodists.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to the nitty-gritty,
each one of those groups within each group as well.
Yeah. Like how many different groups in the Lutheran church do we have? It's insanity. But the nitty-gritty of it all, at the end of the day, who's the one we preach? Who's the one we worship? Who is the one that we thank for the life that we have?
And Jesus.
Jesus. Okay. But we can't get
Good answer, Kyle. Good
it's like answer. It's almost like we can't get past ourselves and all of the silliness to just, here's what we should be doing and looking at.
Yeah, and I think that what happens is a lot of times the body majors and majors and minors, right? So I don't want to say it majors and minors all the time, right? Because we're talking about how Jesus is delivered to people. But I mean, you know, you had the first great schism in the church. Now I'm doing a little church history, which is not this one, right? Which is between the East and the West. So you have the Eastern Orthodox, and then you have the Western, you have the Catholics. And then the second great schism was the Reformation, actually, you know, is Luther saying, hey, you guys are wrong, Catholics. And so then the Catholics and Luthers, and then you had all these little great schisms after between, you know, this person and that person. And then now you have all these denominations. And I think part of the thing is it's like, you know, we often in the body talk about what divides us rather than what unites us.
Yeah.
And that for, especially if you're listening to this podcast and you're not a believer in Jesus, it's really easy to be like, you guys can't figure this out. Why would I want to be a part of that? Mm. And if you are a believer in Jesus, now you understand why some of your friends might say, you guys can't figure this out. Yeah. Why would I be a part of that? Right. So.
Yeah. Or they look at scripture and they're like, why? Okay, you're a Christian, but you're not following your own doctrine, your own Bible, your own Lord. Yeah.
And I think the answer to that, and I'm not trying to slough it off, because this is a serious problem that I literally weep over, even this week, there are times when it troubles me greatly. But we're sinners. I mean, this is kind of where we started this conversation. We're supposed to be one body, and we're human, and so we're not... And so if there are non-believers listening, you know, you have to understand it's only our God who is perfect. Unfortunately, we are not yet. So you're going to see some yuck in this body, but we don't like it, you know. No. And I think we need to stop more often as individuals and as these subgroups that come out in the body, and we need to stop more often and say, I don't like that. Maybe I should just stop being comfortable with it and get over it. I mean, it's a chronic problem, but that doesn't mean we ignore it, you know. So it's kind of odd. If there are people that are non-believers listening, I just hope you'll understand our angst and our conflict over this, our internal conflict over this. We wish it weren't there.
Well, and to be honest, I've been incredibly guilty of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I am a Christian educator in the Lutheran church. I went to a Concordia. Do you know how many times a Concordia student disparages the Catholic Church? Do you know how many times I've done it in my ministry just because I'm being flippant and I think I'm being funny? So, I mean, you're right. Like, we have a lot of angst over it because we are so beyond guilty of it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the realization is that the body, we're one in Christ, right? And I think that that's the thing that for the sake of us that you know, as we talk about this series and the body is like, that's what we're focusing on, right? And we, when we talk about differences, we're really talking about differences in kind of how Jesus is delivered to people. You know, Lutherans, we would talk about he's delivered through word and sacraments, right? And then you start going down the road of what are sacraments and, you know, and yada, yada, yada. And we can talk about this in the podcast as we go on.
Did he just yada, 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 word and sacrament?
He did. I think he did. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada.
But you can't yada, 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 word and sacrament.
But I think a lot of times it is the focus is, and we would all agree that those who are in the body agree that Jesus Christ died, rose, you know, will come again, right? I mean, you know, and I think that that's where we have to start from. And that's kind of the head of what we, that's the head and the heart. And we then become the hands and the feet of how do we walk that out? What does that look like as we walk that out in our daily lives as individuals, but as our daily lives as the congregation, as the local congregation, and as the church Catholic. And I'm not talking about big C Catholic. I'm talking about, you know,
little C.
The universal church. Church. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, Ephesians talks about it as Christ is the head of the church. We, I guess you could call it wife if we want to get into the whole Ephesians Bible verse, but as a wife submits to her husband, the church submits to Christ because he is our head. And we're talking the gospel of Christ is the head and the heart, but truth, he's the head of the body that we are a part of, and we submit to that in how we live and how we walk.
You know, I think over the last year, dealing with COVID has really pushed some people in their definition of what the body of Christ is. Mm. You know, the thought for, I think, for a lot of people, it was so wrapped up in a location. And even though they have heard countless times on countless Sundays from countless pastors that that's not what the church is all about, you know, time and time again, it's like, well, but when are we going to be back in the church? When are we going to be back inside?
In a building.
Yeah.
In a room, in a building.
Right. And, yeah. And you know, I think maybe one of the benefits of this, of the past year, well, it's more than a year now, year plus, is pushing people to see that, you know, the things that Jesus called us to do, and, you know, that's some John 15 stuff, or the things that Paul calls us to do as we're bearing fruit, has really not much to do with what happens for an hour on Sunday morning. It has a whole lot more what happens when you're having your interactions with your neighbor, in your neighborhoods, whatever those might be and look like, with the people that are at the grocery store, whatever. And that is where the church Catholic is actually starting to work. You probably all know the song, you know, the church is not, you know, a steeple. The church is not I'm going to mess it up, and you guys are all looking at me. How does it go?
Here's the building, the church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church, it is a people. So there are two different ones.
Yeah, there's two different ones.
Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the door, and there's all the people.
No.
Close the door, hear them pray, open up, and they all go away. Which?
Never heard that verse.
Really?
Never heard that, no. I always put my fingers on the outside and say, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors, where's all the people? They're out being the church, right?
Right.
Maybe I got the jaded version of we run away.
You got that Midwest East Coast version.
That's great, Kaylee.
Run away, we're praying, run away.
I don't think I ever thought about that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Kevin, for the listeners, because you were both going at the same time, what was your song?
Oh, it was...
No,
I lost it because Kaylee asked me just run away. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church, it is a people.
Okay.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, a people, a body.
And I think that's one of those things that often people have been discipled, have been taught into this idea that you need to come to church rather than we are the church.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, and that's one of those things we have to kind of almost undo sometimes as Christian believers, is realize that we are the church together. You know, you are the church, I am the church, we are the church together. And I think that it is one of those things that we are the church as we live, learn, labor, you know, and love are those around us. And sometimes it's a hard concept.
And so we always say, if you're not a Christian, if you are a Christian, what you take away from this, when you go to wherever it is you go, you are going to worship. Use that vocabulary. Let us go to worship as opposed to let us go to church.
Okay.
Right. We often say, it's Sunday morning, got to go to church.
Right.
You can say, oh, it's Sunday morning, I get to go to worship with other Christians.
With the church. I get to go worship the church. With my Correct. Local church in Correct. the church universal. Yes. Right.
So that we have used that word to our own detriment and to the detriment of the body.
The body, yeah. Right.
Well, and maybe we're pushing even the boundaries of what that means, too, because we have people worshiping online.
Yeah.
We have people worshiping on, you know, whether that's at a live stream, watching a service, or together in a Zoom meeting, or people who are watching it later, asynchronously, you know, that whole thing is maybe there's some really good there with the body that this is not church, but this is something that the church does, and it's only a portion of it.
And I mean, during the pandemic, how many of us were guilty at least once probably of saying on a Sunday when we're at home during that recorded period where we weren't even around, oh, I'm going to go do church now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do church yeah, as opposed to, hey, we're going to go gather for worship in the living room.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I like this idea that you said, like, worship is, it's different now. It can be on your couch. It can be in the semi truck. I know we have a couple semi truck drivers that listen to our podcast, but, in our sermons, but if we look at worship, and I don't know if I'm stealing your thunder, if we're going to talk about this later on down the line. I did not read
this. This is an overview. You can do it.
That well.
We go for it, Kaylee.
Yeah. When we talk about worship, it's God coming to us, and God can come to us wherever we are. Because he comes to us no matter where we are. He reaches us no matter where we are. If we're in the pew, if, you know, we're at our house, if we're walking the park listening to whatever worship service we're listening to, He's coming to us in those moments as we respond to the goodness that he has done in our lives. And I think that's a really cool, deep concept and an opportunity that COVID has given us to kind of re-understand, I guess, if that's a word, what worship looks like.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, one of the things, though, that COVID has, like, in this time of isolation, I think that for some of us has done is it's made us feel like I'm isolated. I'm by myself. I'm on an island, right? I'm locked down. And the realization is that as far as being a part of the body, you're not alone. You are part of something greater than yourself. Even when you don't feel that way, right? I don't feel like I'm part of something greater than myself, but the reality is that you are part of something, you know, greater than yourself. You are part of the body of Christ as a Christian.
Well, and I can't remember, Kyle, if this is a conversation we had personally or we had it on when the microphones were on or not, but the connection that you have experienced during COVID with some of the people that have been gathered at the gathering who hadn't had interaction with people to worship until COVID started.
Right.
Where all of a sudden now they're able to worship with their family because they can't get out and about, and that now it has now afforded them an opportunity for to connect within that situation. And you've told some pretty touching stories about some of those people who just have been so important for them.
Yeah, they've been you know, we sometimes call them shut-ins because they're, you know, they're maybe they were we had one young lady who was in her 90s who was, you know, hasn't been to church, hasn't been to a building, hasn't been to corporate worship in a building for like 10, 15 years because she's lived in a home where she couldn't get out. And the COVID had, through Zoom and through those types of technologies, had allowed her to then worship corporately with everyone in a Zoom room, if you will. Right. And it was great for the body to hear her voice and for her to hear the body's voice. And now she's part of the church eternal because she was called home, yeah, right, during the midst of this. But and so that's kind of a cool thing, too, is because it's like the body is greater than what we necessarily physically see, which is, you know, kind of crazy and, you know, metaphysical and all that stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, that body of Christ, I sort of alluded to it in my opening remarks, that body of Christ, which has an intangible, I want to use the word very esoteric understanding, where it's Christ's continuing actions throughout time and in all places. But then it also has a very tangible aspect. It's the people of God, as the believers of God, acting and carrying out God's wishes and again proclaiming this resurrected body of Jesus to the world. On the one hand, the esoteric nature is the perfect and eternal nature, and on the other hand, the visible nature is the one that has these flaws that we talked about. But it's all the body of Christ, and that's what I said. It's such a powerful metaphor because it encapsulates all of those things. The body of Christ includes the visible, the invisible, the connectedness that we have to each other, this koinonia that's just beyond our understanding of the depth and breadth of that, and also this connectedness to God too, and all that's wrapped up in the body of Christ. What a cool thing.
And that might be a good place for us to wrap up as well. There's going to be some good discussions coming up in the next couple of weeks as we get to it. We've just kind of wet your whistle just a little bit, so thanks for joining us tonight. If you have a question about anything we chatted about tonight, you can feel free to send us an email, theologyontap1517@gmail.com. Again, that'll be in the show notes. You can continue the conversation on our Facebook page as well. Again, a link for that will be in the show notes. We'd love for you to share this podcast with your friends, and please, please, please subscribe, rate, 5 stars only, and comment on your favorite podcast platform. We're going to plan 6 episodes for this season. We'll see how the schedule plays out. That brings us to about mid-June or so. We're always looking for another topic. If you got another topic or an idea, you can send us an email as well. Mark, where are we headed next time?
Yeah, before we go to there, just a couple of quick comments, just to kind of tag on what Seth said a little bit ago about please send us your questions. I'd like to add a little bit of oomph to that if I can. Kaylee mentioned that when she teaches a class with some of the young people, she gives them a card and asks them to write down a question. And some of you know that I used to be a professor at Concordia University here in Irvine, and that was something that I did, is I would give out cards to the students in my classes, and I would say, look, write a question down. And it's just profound. And I don't know about you, Kaylee, but I love answering those questions. Oh, I love seeing them.
It's great.
So please, to our listeners, like Kaylee said, there's no question that's out of bounds. Please write it in. It'll feed our discussion quite a bit. So go ahead and do that.
Absolutely.
And then, back to Seth's question, kind of the rest of the episodes are going to be divided up into 2 larger categories. One is talking about why we gather as the body of Christ. And then the other piece of this, the rest of this episode, will be why we go out and do things as the body of Christ. So next time is why we gather and why do we come together for expressions of worship. I kind of like that better than worship itself. This is an expression of worship. Why do we do that? Why do we study, have these podcasts and have Bible studies? Why do we serve? Why do we give? So we're going to kind of wrestle with that why of the body of Christ next time.
Fantastic. Sounds great. So from all of us here, thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next episode of Theology on Tap. See you guys later.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.